and bleed. This is K-Chung Radio. I am Eugene. And as usual, I have an incredible guest for you. You can decide after the show. You are, I'm sure, aware, if since you're listening, of our polling and voting system that we have here, where we decide whether the guests have been good or not. So please check that out on our official page. Last week's guest, Brandon Joyce, got high ratings. So you, my friend, have a lot to follow up with. And what is your name?
Hi, my name is Daniel Keller.
Oh, that's great. And you are a visitor to town, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a visitor, but a frequent visitor, and I'd like to hopefully maybe make it my home sometime soon.
You and every other person.
Exactly. I've heard
heard about that. You heard about that shit, huh?
Yeah.
So you're really jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You're sort of trend hopping.
Yeah, because I've been in Berlin, and I kind of, you know,
right,
I was on the vanguard of gentrification there, and I just want to, you know.
You want to get here before it's officially old hat.
Well,
you want to at least catch the tail end of
before
this.
Before it becomes like hellscape. That's the idea.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy the
is
last
Berlin
few years.
A hellscape right now?
Berlin, for me, I wouldn't say that it's a hellscape, but
right.
It's reached its limits of interest to me personally.
Well, that just might be because you've been there for a while.
It could very well be that, and it's really hard to tell.
A person who recently died, David Bowie, spent time in Berlin.
David Bowie did spend some time in Berlin.
And it wasn't a gentrified capitalist megalopolis when he left, but he must have left for similar reasons as you. Just sort of like done all the creative things you/he could do there.
So I don't really want to draw such a link to myself.
Why?
And David Bowie. Well, I mean, I just...
That was a very fruitful period for him.
That was, I mean, it's very flattering to be compared, but...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what I was told, I thought he went to Berlin to clean up.
Yeah, convalesce.
Right. So, but that's a weird place to... That seems like a really weird choice now, anyway.
Well, first he went to Switzerland.
Yeah, maybe.
And then he went to Berlin because he's like, well, I'm not really going to be able to do any great work in Switzerland. Has anyone done great work in Switzerland? Chocolate makers, sure.
Watchmakers,
sure.
There's some artists that are good, but I think maybe there's some tendency in Swiss art, if we're going to talk some shit about Swiss art.
Yeah, talk some shit, please.
I just think that they're very comfortable there, let's say.
Comfortable people. It's expensive to live there.
It's really expensive. And
there's a dole.
There's a lot of work that's made about design. And and it's kind of, it's just because furniture design seems important there because there's not really...
anything to worry about.
Not really major things.
Are you making a direct link between the idea of them being comfortable and furniture?
I think it's related.
Thing that you sit on?
I definitely think that there's a relation that they are into chairs and
because they're comfort. Literally, not just figuratively in a sort of symbolic sense, comfortable. They are comfortable. They sit.
Yeah, well, they have
tables that help their backs.
Yeah, stuff. They're into ergonomics, I think.
And what about in Germany, though? They like shit like that in Germany, right? Netherlands, they like shit like that all over.
It's more about cost efficiency in Germany.
Uh-huh,
it's a
I
different.
See.
I mean, I think even there's a difference between kind of northern or like former Eastern Germany and then southern. There's or Protestant Germany and Catholic, or however you want to divide it. There's some different cultures within Germany.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Berlin, I went to some deli, and this guy owned this deli back when there was an East Berlin, until there. And I was like, what's up? How you doing? He's like, I fucking hate it. And just, out of nowhere, he's like, God, I wish it was still like communist. I wish I like still getting the money.
Well, they still vote it's still a major party in most of the areas in Berlin. Are they at least vote for the leftist party or the green party.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty mainstream. People don't like working that much. They don't like to buy stuff that much, so they definitely love that stuff.
Are you excited to move back to President Trump's America?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of trying to time it just for the inauguration if I can.
Of Trump or Sanders?
Yeah, one of the two.
How many people out there do you think there are that would support either Trump or Sanders?
That are listening to this right now or just in general?
In general.
It seems to be a poll.
You
vote for either of them?
If either of them became president, would you be like, that's fine?
I mean, I would prefer one over the other.
Which one?
I think I would prefer Sanders over Trump.
Right.
I'm just going to come out there.
Such a controversial
opinion. It's a pretty edgy thing for me to say.
As Brian deemed it, one of the ultimate hipster shows on K-Chung, my show right now that you're on.
Yeah.
What a controversial statement. Yeah.
Yeah, but to be honest, maybe the more controversial statement is that I would vote for Hillary probably
over Bernie Sanders. Oh, yeah. So you're a Hillary supporter.
Maybe that's, I'll come out and say that. I think she has a better chance of winning than anybody who's a self-professed socialist, unfortunately.
Right. So you're really pragmatic.
I'm kind of into real politics as far as
real politics,
especially when it comes to American politics, where there's not really any other point.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know. Did you watch the State of the Union?
I did. My favorite part, even though I think Obama is a great comedian,
I hope he goes into that. He could take over The Daily Show.
Yeah, it could be like, I know, because the new host of The Daily Show is fucking cringy. It's terrible.
Yeah. Obama would be better.
Would be way better. But then the sort of like, extended puppeted like cool black guy who came on after the State of the Union. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't see that because
he was like, make sure you hashtag SOUT State of the Union. And I was like, that's not the right spelling. And I was like, damn, this puppet they hired did not do himself any favors.
So it didn't do any social media leverage there.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna be hashtagging SOUT. What is that?
It's a disaster.
Sout could be good.
Sout sounds good, yeah.
Obama is... Yeah, I mean, there could be some sort of dystopic future where the much-beloved liberal president, first black president of the United States with good intentions, becomes a sort of face-in-the-crowd, social media, like, comedian, and actually gets more done in public policy change through that voice.
I like that potential future.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Clinton got a lot done by just going around and talking. I mean, that's what he did after.
Or like having a huge, like multi-billion-dollar charitable organization.
Big Rolodex, basically.
No, I know, but it's not like he just went around talking. He fucking had a...
That's how he got the money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot.
Huge organization that like a bunch of like good and also nefarious billionaires donate money to, and then he does things that are probably good.
Hard to say with any of these kind of major charities unless you do some...
It's also hard to... just any of this stuff is pretty difficult because, like, a lot of the criticism that's put forward to places, things like the UNDP or, like, the World Bank or whatever, is that there's just, like, an intense amount of, like, paternalism and sort of, like, we'll help you do this without teaching you how to do it, and then you owe us a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of examples of charity being this sort of just a performance or whatever. Do you know this? There was a story, I think it was like really viral last year with
Coney.
Well, there was a few. I think that was a few years ago. That was about 4 years ago now, which is kind of crazy. No, this guy in Detroit there's basically no public transport there.
In
Detroit.
You're from there?
I am from Detroit.
Did you grow up in suburban Detroit?
Yeah, I grew up 9 Mile, if you know. Uh-huh. 8 Mile.
It's like 8 Mile, but then is 9 Mile like...
9 Mile's in the suburbs, but
is it like significantly different? Is it like 8 Mile is like trailer M&M, 9 Mile is
8 Mile,
like...
It's not really... That happened... Yeah, I mean, he was, I think, an anomaly there. It's pretty racial division. If you look at a racial map, it's like pretty black and white, probably like 85% black south of 8 Mile and like 85% white just immediately north. And there's even a difference in the streets on the south side of 8 Mile versus the north side of the street.
The streets.
Kind of businesses and stuff that are there, like
the one road,
even on the
south side of this road,
for instance. It used to be all strip clubs, now it's like dispensaries because that's the only place where it's allowed, and then like on the north side it's suburban
whatever
shop.
Cat and dog shampooing.
But anyway, that was an aside, but the point was there was this this guy who had to walk, he had to commute something like 3.5 hours to his factory far out in the suburbs. And that was a horrible tragedy. So then some car dealership and some people chipped in, gave him a car and a bunch of money. And like on the first day, he like accidentally crashed into his neighbor's house, and then he got hit up for a bunch of money. And then apparently he had to like park it in the police parking lot because he was so afraid of getting stolen, because everybody knew he got all this money and he just got hit up from it. And it was like actually his life got way more difficult because of this.
That straight up just sounds like a Twilight Zone episode. Doesn't exactly sound like the sort of thing we're talking about.
The point was just like charity,
right?
Trying to solve the micro and the macro. It's just there's a lot of these like feel good, whatever things, and
yeah,
have unintended outcomes. Let's say.
I mean, I love it when like all of the randos come out to play though, when there's like some sort of cause, like, you know, when there's like a pizzeria that doesn't want to serve like a gay couple, and then everyone just like donates to the pizzeria, like all of the, like, you know,
yeah, it's become a
homophobes.
Good, sure. I mean, there was also the lesbian waitress that faked the
whole thing.
That was a good, I mean, hey,
there have been a lot of those in the last years, these waitresses who fake these like photo like of the evil receipts that say,
it's
like,
a really
fuck you,
yeah,
you fuck bitch, you bad waitress. Like, I would, yeah, I never, and she's like, I'm a veteran, I have cancer. And it's like, no, you actually never served, and you don't, you just like shaved your head because you're like,
that was one person. Girl. Let's not, I don't think we should.
No, I think there were three of those.
Okay, but
yeah,
okay, yeah,
waitresses. I mean, look, there have been more of those than ISIS sponsored domestic terror attacks in America.
That's true, so and, we can call that a pattern,
a trend, yeah, something, yeah, destroying the fabric of this country, even.
I mean, you could say that the issue is the whole tip. I mean, let's be fair, tipping, that's the problem.
You're against, so yeah, you live in Germany.
I live,
right,
in Germany, where we have the luxury of not having the tip, and also the main,
yeah,
thing
how
is that
often
taxes.
Do you tip?
I tip every time.
You do?
I do because they know I'm American, and I would, like, it would be kind of.
Now, do they make a living wage like a waiter in Germany? Like,
I don't.
What do they make? Like 10 euros an hour?
I think not that. No, there actually wasn't a minimum wage in Germany up until last year, and it was an Angela Merkel.
Wow, there was not.
Not a national one. I think there was in certain areas. And
right.
I knew people who were working at restaurants making like $5.50 an hour. And barely making more from tips because people don't really tip there. You can maybe tip 10%. But yeah, I think that's a real. No, it's not a good way to structure things to have some hidden tax, obviously. And
yeah.
That sucks. So, yeah. I mean,
what is the hidden tax?
Well, the hidden tax is that you have to always tip 20%, and also that the tax isn't included in advertised prices. That's, come on.
Yeah.
Let's get the tax included.
I mean, I think it's happening. I think the same month that we're going to have a majority in this country of self-driving electric cars,
then we'll
it's
going to
be the
tipping.
Same month that there's going to be no tipping. So I'm talking like, you know, like February 7th, the second week of February, 2032.
Oh, that's, so you're not so gung-ho on the automated car trend then, I guess.
I mean,
32,
I'm talking
that's realistic.
More than 50% of the cars in the United States.
Yeah,
it's going to take a two generations.
I kind of think it's going to be a quick.
An explosion.
I think it's going to be a quick shift because there's so many compelling reasons for it. Like,
I mean, AOL, you know, didn't really hit peak AOL until like 10 years.
Sure, but I think it'll catch on quicker than other technologies because the safety argument and then all of the, like, whatever competing swarm of car companies that are going to be offering these things, it'll be so much cheaper than anything. It's going to be like,
it's going to be cheaper than other cars, you think?
I think these kind of services, like Uber-like services, and there'll be all sorts of competing brand experiences.
But you're...
Tinder, Uber?
You're talking about Tinder, Uber? You're talking about being driven around by automated cars.
Well, I'm talking whatever they turn into being, some sort of, and I think there'll be a mix between people, you know, you own your own, and then there'll be some that you rent out yours per,
yeah,
you know,
like a zip car,
and then there'll be just like fleets of some, and then there'll be some mix of those things, and it'll take a while for the business model. But I think that's
still 2032.
Okay, fine. 2032.
I can
is
bet
reasonable.
You know, a dollar right now. If it happens before that,
tipping goes away 2032. That's the
And the seesaw on a self-driving car.
What do you think they're going to be called? That's the other question, because they can't be called autos, right? And they're not going to be called
cars.
Because you're not going to be called self-driving cars. That's like
selfies.
Horseless selfies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that'll be confusing, right? You think selfies are going to be?
What about, you know, cell phones?
I kind of think it might just be auto again.
Autos.
That's boring, but I guess it wouldn't work in Germany. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Car?
Maybe they call them mechies.
Mechies?
Yeah.
That's cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Mech.
Mech, yeah.
Yeah, well, that kind of sounds like Mexican food. Mex.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, whatever. The genius of our time, Elon Musk, certainly will come up with something.
But is he a branding? Tesla is not.
He's not great at branding.
I don't think he's great at it.
He's not great at branding.
I mean, he's branded himself pretty effectively, but that's not really the same thing.
I mean, those things come off good right now, like solar thing and like SpaceX and stuff. But they're not like iconically branded. Like.
Sure. No.
No one will remember them if they don't stay on the scene. No one will remember them.
Well, they also haven't made any shapes that are so iconic like that. There's not a shape attached to Tesla. I mean, look at a logo.
Well, they
barely,
doesn't really have a flair for the dramatic in a way. Like I can't point to any single event that seems like really memorable.
Well, I would say that the I mean, landing the rocket.
Yeah, but that's just news. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, if that happened 3 years ago, you wouldn't mention it right now. It's fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
You wouldn't remember it.
I'm into that stuff, though. I think it's cool. Maybe I would remember it.
Maybe you should move here to work there.
I don't think I would get a job there, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe you're not, like, smart enough.
Yeah, I don't think I'm smart enough, yeah, in the conventional sense.
I know some bros. I met some bros that work there. They don't seem like geniuses.
Well, it's not about genius, but kind of about how you apply your
knowledge. Do you have physics
I have knowledge? Very little physics knowledge. I have extremely
What is your background in?
My background is... art, unfortunately.
Fine art. So I feel like...
I have interest beyond that, but yeah I only went to school for that.
Okay, let's say between like 8 to 4 years ago, you were making art like heavily or like frequently, and it was very visible, at least in my experience as like a observer. This is only really the second or third time we're hanging out, right? Something like that, maybe. Less than five.
So
I'm just really an observer of your reality of through social media networks, if people could relate to that. Sorry, text message interrupting my thought process. Social media message. Hey, like, why the hell are you going to town on my Netflix so hard? Because I have someone else's Netflix password.
Oh, yeah, I know how
that is. I'm going to town. So you were in an art duo.
I was in an art duo, yeah. AIDS 3D, it was right. called. Yeah.
And you guys were having shows, like 6-7 shows a year, something like
no,
that?
No, it was never like that, not with solo shows. No.
Oh, no, solo, like two, and then maybe like a few
group
shows.
Yeah, 2 or 3, yeah. And I've slowed down a bit since then.
And then you slowed down, right?
Yeah.
What's behind that?
Well, okay.
Are you not comfortable being an artist anymore?
kind of, yeah, maybe you can argue that. It's like, it's harder to be... as completely convinced by that.
You
by
mean
that
not voice. Cynical?
Well, or? Sure. I mean, I've always been kind of cynical about it, but I guess maybe like I was more like naive about my cynicism before.
Right? what does that mean?
Like, I was more hopeful about my cynicism. I was like, thought cynicism would work.
Right, with enough, right? It's enough of a shield against everyone else's
mediocrity or whatever.
Shit,
that
you would be able to overcome. Like, you're not part of that.
Yeah, sure. There's
your own
knowing, self-awareness. Exactly. Self-awareness within...
It's big, right? Self-awareness is big. Could be big.
Could be big. So, I mean, the biggest difference was, of course, like, we worked as a duo, and then I think it wasn't really... I think the last couple of years that we were working together, we also slowed down already, and that was really because of, like, personal beef between us. Was it just a couple?
Like, you guys were a couple.
It was just...
At the beginning, you're in love, you have sex, like, you know,
it was like
20
a couple
times
of,
a week, and then after a few years, you're like, all right, well, I need some time off, and then it's like, do I even want to go back on?
Yeah, it was sort of... I mean, it was a lot like a relationship without sex to like sort
but
of,
now you guys are on good terms.
We're on okay terms,
but you're not making art.
We're not making we're not making any new stuff right now, but we're still talking about it, and we've we still like, you know, the back catalog we still deal with, and that's still
represented. You know,
so that's still we have shows and stuff.
A new type of relationship could lead to sort of a sort of fruitful negotiation of ideas that could manifest itself differently than how you guys were creating stuff before. Who knows?
I mean, and I still like collaboration is still like really important to me. So now, I collaborate with other people, and it's like not on the same monogamous terms, and that works a lot better. So it's more just like a poly collaboration. And you know, I work with my girlfriend with Ella.
Oh yeah.
Also worked with a few other people, and I always am collaborating in the sense of like outsourcing.
Do you do that because you feel like it helps you tease out and bring your ideas in the most like quick and also creative way? Why do you do that?
Why do I collaborate?
Yeah.
Why do I have always this other?
I'm just curious because I have to write a lot. Like I self-produce. I write my movies and music video ideas and whatever. And it sucks and I hate it. I'm a very social person. I feel like my wit is like operating at like, you know, peak productiveness when I'm like hanging out or like bouncing ideas off someone. So yeah, I don't know, I guess I'm just projecting, but you tell me.
That's an accurate projection. I think it helps to have somebody around, and it's always like, I mean, it's just why anything with more people involved is usually, I think, more sophisticated and can get more stuff done. And,
yeah.
But yeah, but on a personal level, yeah, it's a, you know, it's somebody to bounce ideas off. Sure. That's really important always.
Yeah. But ultimately they're not just your ideas then it's a collaboration. No,
oh, sure.
Right?
Of course. But like, that's why I'm saying my personal reason for seeking out these kind of relationships, yeah, is that kind of thing. But of course it's, yeah.
Is it pathetic if I'm actually like, prevent myself from doing that because I'm like an egomaniac who like values the idea of like authorship
yeah,
too highly, and then consequently I think I'm like shooting myself in
no
the foot.
I don't think you're shooting yourself. I think probably maybe it's a sign of strength that you can do that.
It's only a sign of strength if I become incredibly prolific and successful.
Sure. And then it's then you get to own 100% of the pie. But I guess, you know,
no, I don't mean like that on a like ownership level. I just mean, well, in terms of like it's a sign of strength if the product or sure, what they like pure, to say now, the pure content,
yeah,
or what I like to say, like the art or whatever, the film or whatever that I produce is really good.
Right.
You know, and if it's crappy, then it's like, shit, I wish I had like gotten someone on board who like
so it could deflect the blame onto.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
not to deflect the blame onto, to help me like carve it into like a more powerful beast or whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's why most television or movies right have this kind of, yeah, huge,
it's collaborative
process.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think it's possible. I mean, that's, I definitely, I mean, part of the issue also with being in like, let's say, a visual art ghetto is like just the scale of what you can accomplish in it is really limited compared to cinema or architecture or,
yeah,
or music in a lot of ways. And it's, yeah, just, yeah, it's,
in, I mean, terms of
it gives
the
you freedom,
in terms of the possible connection with a larger audience,
that's that in one case, but